Hare Krishna. So now back to our Vyabhichari Bhavas. Maybe not our, but Vyabhichari Bhavas. Many of which look sad, but are still expressions of ecstasy and are still expressions of rasa, of great taste. So we continue from page 250 in my book, which is concealment. Prabhupada is writing, there is a symptom of ecstatic love known as concealment, or trying to hide one's real mental condition by externally showing another attitude. In this state of mind, one tries to hide his mind by looking away in different directions, by unnecessarily trying for something which is impossible, or by using words which cover one's real thoughts. So there can be this kind of vyabhichari bhavas, trying to hide something. Shri Rupa Goswami quotes the verse from the 10th canto, from the Rasa Panchadhyaya. My dear king, the gopis were always beautiful and decorated with confidential smiles and alluring garments. In their movements, intended to give impetus to lusty feelings, they would sometimes press Krishna's hand on their laps, and sometimes they would keep his lotus feet on their breasts. After doing this, they would talk with Krishna as if they were very angry with him. So they were concealing their feelings. Another one was Rukmini, who was feeling competitive to Satyabhama after Satyabhama got the Parijata tree. Parijata tree. But she was hiding that. And in Lalita Madhava, you can read a lot about Rukmini hiding her feelings. Yeah. Then in the first canto, we studied how the queens of Dwaraka, when Krishna returned, then they were trying to conceal their jubilation and feelings of love that they experienced, and they sent their sons to embrace Krishna, if you remember. So these are some of the vyabhichari bhavas when one tries to hide one's emotions. We will read a little later about combination of different vyabhichari bhavas, and in Chaitanya Charitamrita some of these are described. One of them is very amazing, Kila Kinchita, when there are so many different emotions. And so Radharani, in Radharani, when Radharani is experiencing these emotions in relationship to Krishna, but then she also is hiding them. So concealment is also there. The next one is remembrance. So Radharani, as soon as she saw the bluish, so there is a nice verse in Radha, Rasa Sudanidhi, that Radharani is addressed that when you look at the bluish cloud, you are very happy. When you look at the blackish Yamuna, you also like it very much. So why, therefore, are you so angry with the blackish boy named Krishna? So she is remembering Krishna when she sees anything that, you know, like the bluish sky. And Prabhupada writes in the last paragraph here, one devotee said that even when he was not very attentive, he would sometimes, seemingly out of madness, remember the lotus feet of Krishna within his heart. This is an instance of remembrance resulting from constant practice. So the mind becomes your friend. Instead of diverting you, the mind brings you back to Krishna. Also, you have probably heard in Madhurya Kadambini that at the level of asakti, at the level even at the level of ruchi, sometimes the mind unexpectedly can be taken away by something. You see something sometimes unexpectedly, some bird flying, or something else. I know it happens to me very often when I chant somewhere in the nature. Then very often some amazing things are happening. You know, either I see a wasp attacking a dragonfly, and you know, two are fighting. You know, something, some war, aerial war between two insects, or you know, and I'm Hare Krishna, you know. So I watch, you know, and other things. So even at the level of Ruchi, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, something may happen when you see something, and then the mind, even without you noticing, it goes away. So you may experience that experience, have such experience that during japa, you are chanting attentively, and then you notice that you are not chanting attentively. if you at all notice. Yeah, so if we work, then we will notice more often and more early. But at the level of asakti, the devotee doesn't notice how his mind goes back to Krishna from wherever, from whatever he's thinking about. So also, of course, on the level of prema. So one may be thinking about something else, but just you know, like when we chant Hare Krishna, we think Krishna is beautiful. Krishna, the holy name of Krishna is very beautiful. Krishna is beautiful, and Krishna is so kind. Krishna is very kind. His kindness is manifested in many ways. And yesterday, his kindness manifested as a nice piece of cake that I ate. And this piece of cake I ate with the devotees. And this devotee, we were talking about, I don't know, cars or something. And there this car, and yes, and that car is faster than this car. And you know, we didn't even notice how our thoughts about Krishna became thoughts about cars or something. Yeah, but like for a person in asakti, it will be the other way around. You know, somebody will be talking with a devotee about cars, for example, and then he will think that yes, in this car we can drive. Huh? Yeah, that we can drive our Guru Maharaj when he comes. And Guru Maharaj, last time he said something about Krishna, and Krishna is so wonderful, and Krishna is like this. And so the mind, you don't even notice how the mind takes you to Krishna. And sometimes the person can even get a funny expression, you know, like when he's talking and then he's thinking about Krishna, and he is happy to think about Krishna. So this is remembrance. The next one is argumentativeness. So we have two examples here. One is Madhumangal, and one is about Krishna who was out walking. This is the last paragraph. And one of the associates of Radharani told her, "My dear friend, do you think that this walking personality is a tamal tree? If he is a tamal tree, then how is it possible for him to walk and be so beautiful? Then this personality might be a cloud. But if he is a cloud, then where is the beautiful moon within? Under the circumstances, I think it may be granted that this person is the same enchanting personality of Godhead by whose flute vibration the three worlds are captivated. He must be the same Mukunda who is standing before Govardhan Hill." So she's bringing different arguments that this is Krishna. Now the one, anxiety. One more Vyabhichari, anxiety. So Yashoda is anxious waiting for Krishna. She's anxious. They are, of course, anxious for waiting for Krishna from pasture, but here the examples are given when Krishna is in Mathura. They're waiting for him from Mathura. Then next Vyabhichari is thoughtfulness. So an example of thoughtfulness. In the Vaishakya Mahatmya section of the Padma Purana, a devotee states that though in some of the 18 Puranas, the process of glorifying Lord Vishnu is not mentioned, and the glorifying of some demigod is offered, such glorification must be continued for millions of years. For when one studies the Puranas very scrutinizingly, he can see that ultimately Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is an instance of ecstatic love developed out of thoughtfulness. So you thoughtfully analyze and it can become this conclusions that you are following become this the source of some ecstatic feelings. You engage your intelligence and you can feel some movement in the heart by arriving at these conclusions by thoughtfulness. So another example is Rukmini's letter when she proves to Krishna that Krishna is Krishna, that Krishna is the absolute truth. The next abhichari is endurance. Endurance. Everybody knows what's endurance? Vstrajnost, you think? Yeah. And what is the Croatian word there? Do you have? When our Slovenian Nectar of Devotion is coming?
On the way.
On the way, yes. Translating, yeah? It's actually a very difficult book to translate.
Istranost.
How?
Istranost,
okay. It's quite a difficult book to translate. And Prabhupada's language is very interesting. So he has some British old words, but they are put together in such a tasty way. And he's expressing ecstasy in such a scholarly sentences. So this is very sweet and not easy to convey. So endurance. According to the opinion of Bhartrihari, so Bhartrihari is quite famous. He has three famous shatakas. He has one shataka on enjoyment, one shataka, I think, on behavior, and one shataka on renunciation. 100 verses. He was a poetic, a poet king, Bhartrihari, and he became very renounced because how was it? He gave a ring, a beautiful ring, to his wife, and then his wife gave this ring to her paramour, and this paramour gave this ring to his paramour, who was a dancing girl in the court of the king. And so she was once dancing, and then the king noticed that that is his ring, which he gave to his wife. And then he thought, this is too much. All these material relationships are just a sham. You know, they are just some temporary and something unreliable and cheating. So he then wrote a poem of 100 verses on renunciation. Yeah. So you can hear. This is one of the shatakas here. Well, one of the verses from that shataka. He says, "I do not wish to be a highly posted government servant. I shall prefer to remain naked without proper garments. I shall prefer to lie down on the ground without any mattress. And despite all these disadvantages, I shall refuse to serve anyone, even the government." In other words, when one is in ecstatic love with the Personality of Godhead, he can endure any kind of disadvantages calculated under the material concept of life. And a little down. In another instance, a devotee says, "I am always swimming in the nectarian ocean of the pastimes of the Personality of Godhead. And as such, I have no more attraction for religious rituals, economic development, sense gratification, or even the ultimate salvation of merging into the existence of Brahman." So this is an instance of the mind's endurance due to achieving the best thing in the world. The best thing in the world is absorption in Krishna consciousness. So we are searching for the best thing in the world. And the next one is happiness. So Akrura is an example of happiness when he came to Vrindavan and then he saw Krishna and Balaram. And then he felt happiness. Did you feel happiness when you came to Vrindavan or Mayapur, and then you saw Krishna Balaram or Narisimha or Radha Madhava or Radha Shyama Sundar, Panchatattva, or when you come from somewhere to Nava Yoga Pit and you see our Panchatattva here, and you sometimes feel happy to see them. So one cannot feel any happiness in the heart on seeing the Lord if the Lord isn't happy to see you. So this is a reciprocal. Pardon?
Is Krishna sometimes not happy to see us?
Depends what we have in the heart. If our heart is very offensive, then he may be pained. Krishna is saying that when someone offends devotees and worships him, then for him this worship is like beating with iron rod. He doesn't like that. So, because that means we don't understand who Krishna is. He says it's like washing the feet respectfully and then taking a stick and beating him on the head. So the feet you wash and on the head you beat. It is stated in the 10th canto, 33rd chapter, verse 11 of Srimad Bhagavatam, upon seeing that Krishna's arm was placed on her shoulder, one of the gopis engaged in the rasa dance became so ecstatically happy that she kissed Krishna on his cheek. This is an instance of feeling happiness because of achieving a desired goal. So we have many quotes here from the Rasa Lila chapters and from the 10th canto. Eagerness. So eagerness. Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada, they give a far out example. When Krishna first came from his kingdom Dwaraka to Indraprastha, the young females of the city became so eager to see him that even at night, when they were lying down with their husbands, they could not restrain their eagerness, even though they were not properly dressed, and although their hair was loose, and there were many household duties, like lying with the husbands, they still gave up everything and immediately went into the street to see Krishna. This is an instance of eagerness in ecstatic love. And similar description is there for the gopis, of course, in the previous chapters. And then at the end, the damsels of Raja and Radharani were expert in talking cunningly. So as soon as they saw Krishna, they began their talkings. And Krishna, pretending to go for some flowers for them, immediately left that place and entered into a mountain cave. This is another instance of eager, loving exchanges on the parts of both the gopis and Krishna. So there is a lot of fun in relationships with Krishna. These are just some little waves that are there. The next one is violence. So Garuda. So when Krishna was fighting with Kaliya, Garuda became infuriated and began to murmur. You know what's murmur? Murmurati, I think you have the same. Yeah. Krishna is so powerful that simply by his thundering of voice, the wives of Kaliya have had miscarriages. Because my Lord has been insulted by this snake, I wish to devour him immediately. But I cannot do so in the presence of my Lord, because he may become angry with me. So this is an instance of Garuda wishing to do violence, just eat up Kaliya. And then he thought it's... it will be not nice because Krishna is fighting with him. So, and the next one is a very inspiring quote for everybody who ever trained any martial arts. You know, when Shishupal objected to the worship of Krishna in Rajasuya arena at a sacrifice organized by Maharaj Yudhishthira, Sahadev, the younger brother of Arjuna, said, A person who cannot tolerate the worship of Krishna is my enemy and is possessed of a demoniac nature. Therefore, I wish to strike my left foot upon his broad head just to punish him more strongly than the wand of Yamaraj. So, left foot on his dull head. Not the right, just the left. The next one is haughtiness. Haughtiness resulting in dishonorable words. So haughtiness is a feeling of superiority, feeling of kind of a pride, and when one tries to be superior to the other. How would you translate this in Slovenian? How? Here we have Jatila criticizing Krishna. Krishna, you're standing here, and Radharani, who has just been married to my son, is also standing here. Now I know both of you very well. So why should I not be very anxious to protect my daughter-in-law from your dancing eyes? So she is, from a superior position, she is chastising. Or you can see that one of the Radharani's gopis is saying, "My dear Krishna, you are a first-class thief, so please leave this place immediately. We know you love Chandravali more than us, but there is no use in praising her in our presence. Kindly do not contaminate the name of Radharani in this place." So get lost. These are dishonorable words cast upon Krishna in ecstatic love. And the last one is also gopis chastising Krishna as a rascal, as a rascal and as a cheater. So, these are some haughtiness and dishonorable words. Envy. So even envy can be... So this is not envy like in the material world. This is not our envy. But this is a Vyabhichari Bhava. In the Padyavali, one of the friends of Radharani once addressed her thus: "My dear friend, please do not be too puffed up because Krishna has decorated your forehead with his own hand. It may be that Krishna is yet attracted by some other beautiful girl. I see that the decoration on your forehead is very nicely made, and so it appears that Krishna was not too disturbed in painting it. Otherwise, he could not have painted such exact lines." So in envy you will find fault, you know, no matter what is there in the other party. And then they are saying, also from the Bhagavatam, "We have seen the footprints of Krishna and Radha on the ground of Vrindavan, and they are giving us great pain, because although Krishna is everything to us, that girl is so cunning that she has taken him away alone and is enjoying his kissing without sharing him with us." So they are envying Srimati Radharani during the Maharas dance. And now the Sakya Rasa. "Sometimes when the cowherd boys used to play in the forest of Vrindavan, Krishna would play on one side and Balaram would play on another. There would be competition and mock fighting between the two parties, and when Krishna's party was defeated by Balaram..." So very often we hear how Krishna is defeated, because this is more... You can actually see that Krishna is... He likes to be defeated by his devotees, and he likes to be more in this serving position. "So when Krishna's party was defeated by Balaram, the boys would say, 'If Balaram's party remains victorious, then who in the world can be weaker than ourselves?'" Yeah. In other words, they are saying that this is a very weak party. You know? So if they win, then we are weakest of the weakest. So that's a criticism of their rivals. Then the last one, impudence.
Besramnost.
Besramnost. So this is the example of Rukmini writing to Krishna and saying that my marriage is fixed, so please come and steal me, kidnap and marry me. And then there is another another instance where impudence is implied, described. One of the gopis said, "May Krishna's sweet flute be washed away by the waves of the Yamuna and let it fall into the ocean. The sweet sound of that flute is so impudent that it makes us lose all composure before our superiors." So they are blaming the flute. Then dizziness. So dizziness, of course, usually when they hear the flute, they become dizzy. And then there is a comment here which applies not only to this particular vyabhichari bhava, but to all of these. "It may be questioned why devotees of Krishna should be attacked by dizziness, which is usually considered a sign of the mode of ignorance. To answer this question, Shijiva Goswami has said that the devotees of Lord Krishna are always transcendental to all the modes of material nature. When they feel dizziness or go to sleep, they are not considered to be sleeping under the modes of nature, but are accepted as being in a trance of devotional service." So you can... So when you don't want to be disturbed, you know, then you can put on the door, "Trance of devotional service. Do not disturb." There is an authoritative statement in the Garuda Purana about mystic yogis who are under the direct shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In all three stages of their consciousness, namely wakefulness, dreaming and deep sleep, the devotees are absorbed in thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, in their complete absorption in thought of Krishna, they do not sleep. This is actually very interesting. This is this comment about the yogis. There is one yogi who was. His name starts with Ram. Ram Yogi, I forgot. Rama, if somebody remembers, tell me. He wrote an autobiography. So his guru told him to go to the States and allow the scientists to study yoga. So he was studied, and there is a... I forgot which university it was. I think it was somewhere in New York or... So at any rate, they studied him, and he was going into trance, and they were studying his brain waves, and then they, they were surprised to see combination of deep sleep and complete alertness. You know, complete alertness is beta waves, and deep sleep is delta waves. So usually it can be only one or the other; it cannot be two together. But in case of these meditators, they can find that two are combined at the same time. But in his case, they did something else. He said, "Now I will sleep." And then he went into deep sleep. And they could measure, you know, it can be measured by the waves, by other symptoms in the body, that the person is not only sleeping, but the person is in a deep sleep. In other words, the person is totally, is unconscious. And you know, this is delta waves, and that's actually where we really rest. That's when the soul is merging into the tamasa shakti of Brahman. The soul is coming in touch with Paramatma in the heart and gets energy. So this is the delta waves. That's why also people who have light sleep or who don't, who have only dreams but don't go into the deep sleep, they don't rest. That's why also when you sleep too long, you also don't rest. And that's why some people, especially meditators who can meditate, they need less sleep. Or some people who can use all their sleep time for this deep sleep, they can be rested in 4 hours of sleep, because that's what we get in the night. Of during 8 hours of sleep, we get only 4 hours of delta of this deep sleep. So anyway, it can be there are many ways to confirm that the person is totally out, unconscious in deep sleep. So he was in that deep sleep, and then when he was in deep sleep, they did some things. They were speaking some things in the room. So when he came out of this deep sleep, he said everything that they were speaking. So he was in deep sleep, but he was totally aware of everything that was happening in the room. So now if you sleep in the lecture, you can quote this. And we have such examples also in some devotees who were in coma. Sometimes a person is in coma and then they respond. Who was it? I forgot. Was it Japataka Maharaj, or who was it? He was in coma, and then when the devotees came and they were speaking, he actually somehow pressed the hand, or you know, responded to what they were speaking. And the senior Puri Maharaj, when he had his heart attack, he was in coma also. He was in coma, but even in coma, he continued chanting Hare Krishna. So the brain was in coma, but you know, he was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And this is what Prabhupada is saying oftentimes. You can hear Prabhupada is saying we should chant 24 hours a day, even during a sleep. And if you study some of the spiritual traditions, they say that you can be conscious also in deep sleep, and you can be conscious also in dreaming sleep. And in this dreaming sleep, this is called lucid dreaming, and there are some people who are very inspired about it, very excited. Anybody had lucid dreams when you slept and you knew you were sleeping? So I just 2 days ago, I remember I was dreaming and something fell down and was strewn on the floor. And I was thinking, I'll go down and collect all of this. But then I thought, anyway, this is just a dream. Why should I collect all of this? I can just wake up and leave. But real yogis, they can use this lucid dreaming for yoga practice, for some meditation. And this is extremely powerful, because in that stage you can do anything. You can fly, you can go to another place, you can create any conditions if you can control your dream. And you can achieve much higher results even, because it's like the subtle realm of interacting with the demigods and interacting with your subconscious. You can achieve very powerful results by that, if you can use that lucid dreaming for consciously meditating on Krishna and chanting Hare Krishna. Anybody had such experience? Anybody was? This is very interesting. So, don't think that this Vyabhichari Bhava is a sign of Tamagun. What are you saying? Well, we all know that we all sometimes. And the next one, of course, is sleepiness. And we have Baladev. So it was in the assembly of the Yadus. So you can see that sleeping in the meetings is an ancient custom. And it seems to be bona fide if Balaram also was doing this. But you should do it like he did. So how he did this? So he was, once Lord Baladev began to talk in his sleep as follows. O lotus-eyed Krishna, your childhood adventures are manifest simply according to your own will. Therefore, please dispose of the stubborn pride of this Kalia serpent. By saying this, Lord Baladev astonished the assembly of the Yadus and made them laugh for some time. Then, yawning so hard as to make ripples on his abdomen, Lord Baladev, the bearer of the plow, returned to his deep sleep. This is an instance of sleepiness in ecstatic love. So, I told you, there are many nice Vyabhichari Babas here.
Laziness.
So these are all different emotions. Again, this is a full gamut, a full range of all emotions. And these emotions are studied in a drama. A real creator will know how to combine all of these, and a combination of all of these invokes rasa. Invokes rasa in the listener or spectator also, in a drama. And in this way can help one to easily meditate on Krishna. Just like in the last 15 minutes, anybody was thinking about cars, eating, enemies, or lust, or something else, anger. We were more or less focused on this because these Vyabhichari Bhavas, they invoke some response in our heart. It reflects in our heart, and it really helps us to be drawn. And this would be really nice if ISKCON gets some experts in these arts, because there is a story that when Treta Yuga started, the demigods came to Brahma and said that how can one achieve perfection in this age because no one can meditate. So Brahma said, don't worry, we will create drama. We will create drama and people will be drawn to drama, and in this way they will forget their false ego and they will be entering into the realm of transcendental stories. So these are very powerful. These are very, very powerful things. Even the material, of course, in Kali Yuga it's all perverted, and you have the Hollywood and Bollywood. Yeah, but it acts in the same way. Why people love this cinema? Why people love movies, even as devotees? Because it yanks you out of your ego, false ego. You forget your situation. You may have so many worries, but for the time that you are, you know, seeing some drama, if it's done by a master, you know, it means it invokes your emotions, and you forget your false ego, you forget your situation, you forget where you are, you forget your problems, you forget all about the false ego. It's some little piece of reflection of some kind of a liberation. So that's why people like it. So we should make this with Krishna. And also when we read about Krishna, then we should really think deeply to become involved, to actually get out of the false ego and into the realm of devotion there. So we have to really put our heart into the stories we hear and read. And also it means being active. It means active reading. It means not just reading the letters and not be afraid to try things on. In other words, it means actively asking questions. What would I feel in that situation? Why Krishna feels like, why Krishna does like this? If I were Krishna, why would I do this? What would I feel? We are all scared about Mayavad and we think, oh, no. So that's why sometimes we read like this, you know. We put the book at the side and Krishna kissed the gopis. Oh my God, what's next? And then he... And then, you know, we are like, you know, we don't allow what's happening to touch our heart. This is not how it's supposed to be. So there are many Vyabhichari Bhavas which compose rasa, and they are experienced by a person in prema, but they will attract us by that rasa also. And the last one is alertness. So there, alertness means a person waking up or a person coming out of fainting or a person being very attentive to something. A devotee once stated, "I have already conquered the mode of ignorance and I am now on the platform of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, I shall be engaged only in searching after the Supreme Personality of Godhead." This is an instance of alertness in ecstatic love. Transcendental alertness is possible when the illusory condition is completely overcome. The examples, several examples are given by Prabhupada, when Srimati Radharani faints, then sometimes the gopis, they bring a garland from Krishna. And when she smells the garland from Krishna, she comes into consciousness. Or they bring her some prasad, like pan, betel nuts from Krishna, and then when she tastes that, again she comes to consciousness. She's alert, and there is, it ends with a beautiful verse. So the Prabhupada is saying, the lotus flower is sometimes surrounded by white swans, and sometimes it is surrounded by black wasps, who are collecting its honey. When there is a thundering in the sky, the swans go away, but the black wasps stay to enjoy the lotus flower. So what is this verse? The gopis' sleeping condition is compared to the white swans. And the gopis themselves are lotuses. And the sound of Krishna's flute is compared to a black wasp. When Krishna's flute sounded, the white swans, which represent the sleeping condition of the gopis, were immediately vanquished. They went away. And the black wasp sound of the flute began to enjoy the lotus flower of the gopis' beauty. And this is poetry. So sleep disappearing, that's alertness. So they are alert by hearing Krishna's flute. So this is poetry and this is rasa. One cannot convey rasa without poetry, is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Feelings are not conveyed by stating them. Feelings are much more effectively conveyed by implying them, by a metaphor or by something that it proves that there is a feeling without naming the feeling. So it's much more moving than you are much more convinced. Okay, so these are the Vyabhichari Bhavas, 33 Vyabhichari Bhavas. Any questions here? Comments? Points? If not, then we will have one special exercise. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In one place, Prabhupada writes that a yogi is very expert at understanding the mind of another person. The yogi can read the mind of the other person just from the face, just from the expression. So it is even more so for a bhakti yogi, because bhakti yogi learns the science of rasa. He understands all the movements of the emotions in the heart. So these were 33 Vyabhichari Bhavas. They are the sometimes translated as the aggressive. Here Prabhupada in the 31st chapter translates them as disturbing. He says all these symptoms refer to apparently disturbed conditions. But even in such disturbed conditions, there is acute ecstatic love for Krishna. And there are three categories. There is, Prabhupada is saying, first class, second class, and third class. So that means the intensity, how intense they are. these bhavas. And then there are 13 more. So apparently some of the rasa scholars who are knowledgeable in emotions, they give 13 more emotions. But Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami in the next paragraphs, they show how all of these emotions are included in the 33, actually just in one paragraph. So there are 13 more emotions. So what are these emotions? So malice and envy. Malice and envy. So like enmity and envy. So they are in fact synonymous. So therefore malice is included in envy. The next one is fearfulness and anxiety. So we had anxiety, actually we had both. So in Sanskrit, you can check in Sanskrit, what are these? So fearfulness is connected with anxiety, so therefore fearfulness will be included in anxiety. Yeah, because apprehension was something like more like a doubt. Then pretension, pretending, yes? Meaning that you are hypocritical. So that's included in concealment, in hiding. And then amarsha, something like anger. Prabhupada is writing, one's inability to tolerate an offense committed by another is called amarsha, and one's inability to tolerate the opulence of another is called jealousy. Jealousy and amarsha are both caused by intolerance. So this way they are included into each other. Then one's ability to establish the correct import of a word may be called conclusiveness. And we had also thoughtfulness, thoughtful consideration. Yeah, so that's included. And the other part can be included into argumentativeness. And then cowardice. So it's interesting, he puts it into humility. It says here, when one presents himself as ignorant, his attitude is called humility, and when there is absence of enthusiasm, it is called cowardice. So absence of enthusiasm. Then endurance and forgiveness. So forgiveness is one new here. So forgiveness is included into endurance, that you can tolerate everything. And then wonder and impatience or anxiousness. So they are included into it one other. So wonder, some surprise. In anxiousness also there is some surprise. Then when anxiety is in its dormant stage, it is called hankering. So hankering and anxiety also, they are included. Then regret, when one becomes regretful for some offense, his feeling is called bashfulness. So he includes regret as a subcategory of bashfulness, shyness. And then doubtfulness and being restless. So doubtfulness is one of the aspects of argument, and after exhibiting impudence, one becomes restless. Therefore, restlessness and impudence are can be synonymous. So at any rate, you can see that Rupa Goswami analyzes some of the 13 additional, he mentions 13 additional emotions which sometimes can arise, and then he is arguing that they are subcategories of the 33 that have already been enumerated and mentioned. Prabhupada is saying, when all such symptoms are included in ecstatic love, they are called sanchari, or continuously existing ecstatic symptoms. Continuously meaning that they are always samyabhichari will be coming, but then coming and going. All of these symptoms are transcendental, and they are exhibited in different ways, acting and interacting under different conditions. So acting and interacting. Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, in his course and in his course book, he writes something, some explanation. He says that there is an intricate interrelationship between vyabhichari bhavas, where one of the vyabhichari bhavas can become a vibhava for another vyabhichari bhava. So vibhava is the cause. This is some can be some quality that stimulates ecstasy, and anubhava, it's an action based on that stimulation. So two vyabhichari bhavas can cause each other. In this way, these vyabhichari bhavas will be acting, one will be acting as vibhava, another as anubhava. And he's giving the example, Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj is giving the example. Envy can instigate disgust. So if somebody is envious and then he feels disgust, you know, and condemns somebody. So in this way, envy will become vibhava, or the stimulant, and disgust, or condemning somebody, will become anubhava, or the action that's resulting, subsequent ecstatic action resulting from that, and vice versa. They can interact like this. All right, and then there is a whole science of different categories. There are, so vyabhichari bhavas, they're divided into dependent and independent. So this dependent and independent means that they are, these are, dependent means that they are in some rasa, and it can be superior and inferior. Superior when it nourishes rasa, inferior when it does not. Rasa in terms, in our usual meaning, one of the five relationships. And inferior when it does not nourish. Like, for example, Arjuna's fear when he saw the universal form did not nourish his rati, or friendship. So this was avara, or inferior, dependent vyabhichari bhava. He is in love, so it's dependent with Krishna, but it's inferior because it doesn't nourish. And then it can nourish either direct rati or indirect rati. So either one's direct relationship with Krishna, one of the five, or one of the seven. One of the five, you know, there are five and there are seven of indirect rasas. So this is the example is given of Bhima, who is murmuring to himself, saying that my arms are just like thunderbolts. Where is it? Yeah. But despite these arms, I could not smash Shishupal while he was blaspheming Krishna. Therefore, of what use are these strong arms? So this nourishes his anger, which is Rodra Rasa, which is one of the indirect rasas. So this is indirect. Superior, it nourishes his rasa of friendship, but it's indirect. Yeah? And the direct is the person who, an example here, one devotee exclaimed, "Oh, I cannot see the district of Mathura. Even though by simply hearing the name of Mathura, the hairs of my body are standing up, I cannot see the place. So of what use are my eyes?" So there you have desperation, desperation, nirveda, and it nourishes his direct affection for Krishna. So in this one, we don't know. So it could be any of the, even including Shanta Rasa, but this nourishes his direct attraction for Krishna. Nourishes the direct rati, one of the five ratis. Then there is another category of independent, and this is of when there is no rati, when there is rati that is produced gradually, and then there, when there is some trace or reflection of rati. So independent means that there is, yeah, so there, this is not in, a person doesn't have a relationship with Krishna. So the example here is given of Kamsa. So Kamsa, this is pratikula, this is inimical vyabhichari bhava. He's showing vyabhichari bhavas, but he's inimical. So there is no rati Then the resultant, do we have, they become connected. So this is when the bull demon attacked the damsels of Raja, they began to cry out, "Dear Krishna, please save us, we are now gone." So this is fear. So first there is fear, and then it is connecting them, nourishes their love for Krishna. So this is resultant rati coming from that, and trace of rati are examples of some of the Radharani's actions. So if you, I will read from Dhanurdhara Maharaja's book. Srila Rupa Goswami gives an example of Rati Gandha. So this is Vyabhichari Bhava, which has a trace of Rati, relationship with Krishna. Srimati Radharani's grandmother said, "Radha, I recognize that yellow clothing you are wearing. Don't try to hide it." Hearing this, Srimati Radharani immediately lowered her head in shame and covered her face with her veil. Jiva Goswami explains that here Srimati Radharani is experiencing the Vyabhichari Bhava called Vrida, shame. This shame does not come from her affection for Krishna, but from embarrassment that her respected grandmother discovered Krishna's yellow clothing on her body. Therefore, it is Svatantra, independent. Yes, it's not coming from her relationship with Krishna, directly based on her love to Krishna. Although independent of her specific Madhurya Rati for Krishna, it's not a, you know, this shame is not a conjugal Vyabhichari Bhava. Shirada's shame does have a trace of Rati, because it is only due to her Madhurya Rati that Krishna's yellow clothing was on her body. Because of this slight connection to her Madhurya Rati, Srila Rupa Goswami classifies this shame as Rati Gandha, bashfulness, as Rati Gandha having a trace of Rati, direct Rati that one is in devotional service. So if anything, you can see that this is a deep science. No. It nourishes one rati. This does not nourish one rati. Yeah, this is here. The example is Arjuna's fear of the Viratrupa. Yeah, it doesn't nourish his friendship.
So it's inferior rati.
It's inferior Vyabhichari Bhava. This Vyabhichari Bhava of fear is inferior. It's dependent on his friendship, but it's coming from his friendship. So he feels fear, "Oh, I offended you." It's coming from his Rati, friendship. But it's inferior because it doesn't make it stronger. He starts apologizing. He, like, you know, rolls back his... And superior means it directly nourishes his Rati. So this was indirect, was Bhima. The example was Bhima murmuring in anger. You know, anger. Anger, one of the seven indirect ratis, sthayi bhavas. And this was a person hankering for Mathura in desperation. So this directly connects, this is directly connected to his relationship with Krishna. So you can imagine, once you are learned in these things, then there can be a lot of relishment of these old descriptions of how devotees interact with Krishna. So you can imagine how the six Goswamis were discussing this, and they could see which Rati, which Vyabhichari, how they are connected between themselves, which is causing which, and so. This becomes very, very relishable, very tasty.
Where are all this description directly in which part of Vedas, or how did they get all this together?
This is Rasa Shastra. Rasa Shastra describing emotions. I suspect that Bharata Muni, because Rupa Goswami takes the Bharata Muni's Nataka Shastra as the template. He takes the outline, the outline of this book, and then he puts Krishna conscious content. He changes some things. Bharata Muni has some other opinions about rasas and something else. So Rupa Goswami, he sets everything. I think one of the changes is there are five main rasas, ratis. In Bharata Muni's, I think he doesn't speak about it, and so forth. Yeah. So this is we can say this is Smriti, one of the Smritis. And then there are appropriate and inappropriate. Well, these Vyabhichari Bhavas, they can be pratikula or inimical, and they can be also inappropriate. Inappropriate. The example given here is about the trees, that they are seeing some emotions in the trees. And Rupa Goswami is saying that these emotions are not present in the trees. And then the discussion is there, very interesting discussion. Again, Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj gives very interesting explanation here. We all understand that the trees and animals in Raja can experience ecstasy. So we might wonder, why these are called anauchitya, not proper. Jiva Goswami and Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explain it is a fact that the apparently unintelligent life forms in Vraja are liberated souls with full love for Krishna. Due to this ecstatic love, they take on the role of his trees and animals, fully assuming the appropriate characteristics of intelligence and behavior. They do so to facilitate Krishna's pastimes. If the animals and foliage, the leaves, manifested their full intelligence, their presence would pose a hindrance to the confidential amorous pastimes of the Lord. You know, they are in the kunja, Krishna is in the kunja kissing Radharani, and there are 40 sages standing around as trees and looking at this. So that would not be, what kind of it is. It's very, very inappropriate, right? So therefore, they behave as trees, assuming the behavior and characteristics. And this is Shantarasa. Yeah? So he is in Shantarasa, these sages. They are very peaceful. They just stand. And some are attracted to peaceful. Of course, there is always some, in Vrindavan, there is always some mixture of higher rasas.
But they enjoy
Madhurya, they're attracted. Yeah, so in Vrindavan, every rasa has Madhurya sweetness. Sweetness of, but not Madhurya as Shringara, as conjugal. Some are not so, like Mother Yashoda will not be in that. She never thinks that, never occurs to her. She, Krishna returns from the pasture and she engages the gopis in bathing Krishna. So they go and they bathe Krishna, directly. And Mother Yashoda a thought never comes, that they are grown-up girls and he's a grown-up boy. And they are washing him, touching him and pouring water. So she doesn't even think. She always sees, that he's her little baby Krishna. And, that everybody loves my baby Krishna. And yeah, let them, they want to do this service, let them do this service and so forth. So she doesn't have the conjugal element in her law. All right, and then the next topic is how these Vyabhicharis can combine. So first there is a stages, generation. First they have to be generated, then conjunction. They can combine with some others. And then there is aggregation, there can be many combining, and satisfaction when there is some negative disturbing Vyabhichari, so-called negative, and then it's resolved. So that's a satisfaction. Yes, it's very sweet, very pleasant. There can be fear, and then it's resolved. There can be anxiety, and then it's resolved. So it enhances. Both are enhancing. These are like waves that are enhancing the emotion of the devotee. So here is one example. Krishna once told Radharani, "My dear friend, when you tried to meet me alone in the morning, your friend Mekhala remained hungry with envy. Just look at her." When Krishna was joking with Radharani in this way, Radharani moved her beautiful eyebrows crossly. She didn't like Krishna talking about Mekhala. Rupa Goswami prays that everyone may become blessed by this movement of Srimati Radharani's eyebrows. This is an instance of the generation of malice in ecstatic love of Krishna. So it's the generation, the inception, the beginning. And then some conjunctions are showed. Yashoda was happy that Putana was killed, but also was worried that Krishna was crawling on her chest. So a conjunction. Or when Devaki saw Krishna in Kamsa's arena, very brave, so she was happy he's brave, but she was afraid that he's in front of these huge wrestlers. So there is a conjunction of two vyabhicharis. And then another example is once when Srimati Radharani was standing on the bank of the Yamuna River in the forest of Vrindavan, she was attacked by Krishna, who was stronger than she. Although she externally expressed a disturbed mood from this incident, within herself she was smiling and feeling great satisfaction. Externally, she moved her eyebrows and made a show of rejecting Krishna. In this mood, Radharani looked very beautiful, and Srila Rupa Goswami glorifies her beauty. This is an instance of exhibiting varying feelings in ecstatic love, although the cause is one only, Krishna. So the vyabhicharis, there can be two vyabhicharis here, like two vyabhicharis from one cause. Krishna is attacking Radharani, and Radharani is happy and inimical, and you know. So one cause, different vyabhicharis. There can be two causes, two vyabhicharis. There can be many causes, one vyabhichari. So Rupa Goswami discusses all of these different combinations that can be. There will be, you know, in a little teeny somewhere change of on the face, and so of course Krishna can see that, and that becomes very very tasteful. Even doesn't even have to be a short moment. I just saw one devotee who is a professional psychologist. He brought me his hard drive, offering me to copy, you know, things about constellation work and this and that. So there was, respectfully like looked what was there, but there was so much. It would take me, you know, 5 years to just go through all of this if I did it full time, you know, if I did nothing else. So I didn't actually maybe copy all of this, but among other things, I found there was one Karmi movie which is describing. So I was thinking, should I copy? Should I not copy? Yes, and then I just clicked on many episodes, 40 or something, and I clicked on a few, and it was describing some expert working for the CIA or American military, who is expert in facial taxonomy. And there is a description which describes every little muscle, every little frown, and then it connects it to an emotion. Again, I saw this whole book at Radha Govinda's hard drive. I also didn't copy because, you know, when will I ever you know, study that? And so the guy could just ask a question. So they used him for interrogating some enemies or anybody. So he just asks a question and he immediately knows the answer. He doesn't have to hear anything. He immediately knows the answer. He just looks. There is an imperceptible, no one can see, but he is trained and he can see that some little tiny something somewhere is moving. And then he knows, okay, so he is doubtful here, now he is afraid, now he is concealing, now he is... So he knows all these vyabhichari bhavas just by the little tiny movement of some little tiny imperceptible muscle or... So, you know, what to speak about a perfect yogi? He doesn't have to study this taxonomy, he just sees into the mind. And so there will be, some moment. And some people have very expressive faces. It's incredible. It's like, some of us, there is this American expression, dead pan. Pan is like a frying pan, and it's a dead pan. So, especially some men, especially in some American movies, it's exactly one expression for everything. Sometimes we think that spiritual life is also like that, no duality, deadpan. But some people are like, it's like having a frying pan on your face, basically. But some people are like having a very, very thin, almost imperceptibly thin covering over their emotions, and you can see how it's every little emotion immediately is expressed somehow on their face. you can sometimes see such people, and they are also more emotional sometimes, of course. All right. So, and then aggregation. We have combinations of bashfulness, anger, jubilation, lamentation in Radharani one time, and then we have Kamsa. So Kamsa once said, "What harm can this boy do to me? He has no power." The next moment, Kamsa was informed that all of his friends had been killed by the boy. Then Kamsa began to think in perplexity, "Shall I go immediately and surrender unto him? But how can a great warrior do this?" The next moment he thought, "Why should I be afraid of him? There are still so many wrestlers standing to support me." But the next moment he began to consider, "The boy is certainly not common, because he has lifted Govardhan Hill with his left hand. So what can I do in this connection? Let me go to Vrindavan and inflict pains on all the residents there. But still, I cannot even go out, because my heart is trembling from fear of this boy." So this condition of Kamsa's mind reveals an instance of pride, lamentation, humility, determination, remembrance, doubtfulness, anger, and fear. So 8 vyabhichari bhavas aggregate. Kamsa has a very rich emotional life. But this is, this is this one, independent, no rati. not in a rati. Then disappointment is discussed, and Prabhupada is quoting. So this is about satisfaction. How this is the last point. So generation, conjunction, aggregation, and satisfaction. So he quotes the proverb, "Disappointment gives rise to the greatest satisfaction." This is actually coming from the Pingala prostitute. She's saying this. And this is what Dattatreya learned from her, one of the 28 gurus. And it is quoted, Pingala is quoted by the gopis. And they say, "Nairvedya, param sokhyam hi nairvedyam." Nairvedyam is disappointment. So in other words, this negative disappointment leads to complete surrender. And then in that complete surrender, and then so one kind of totally surrenders to Krishna, and then Krishna resolves the cause, removes the cause, and it brings incredible happiness to the devotee. So this is the satisfaction of the vyabhichari bhava.
It resolves the cause of disappointment.
Yeah. And then Srila Rupa Goswami says that although he has no expert knowledge about the sounds and meanings and mellows of the symptoms of ecstatic love, he has tried to give some examples of different varieties of love of Krishna. He further states that the 33 disturbing symptoms of ecstatic love plus 8 other symptoms all taken together equal 41 primary symptoms of ecstatic love. So what does it mean? It means that every devotee will experience at least 41 of these emotions. These are the, yes, these are, it means 33 Vyabhichari Bhavas plus 7 of the indirect ratis, anger, compassion, laughter, fear, and so forth, ratis, plus 1 direct rati of the 5, conjugal, neutral, friendship, parental. So this makes it 41. So this is a collection of gems in the heart of a devotee, and they are interplaying 41 tastes in the heart of a devotee. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Please accept my humble obeisances. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyeva cha